Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I interview the top commercial real estate investors in the industry and other experts so you can learn from their experiences. So if you're an investor, a high W-2 earner, a tech or sales professional wanting to invest in real estate without leaving your current profession or managing properties yourself, then this podcast is for you. Or if you're already investing in real estate, either doing it part-time or on the side, and you want to become a full-time investor, this podcast is for you too. You're going to learn a ton. On the Five Talents Podcast, you're going to learn from real-life multifamily investors and other real estate professionals who will stretch your mind on what's possible and share their blueprints for success. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, hello. My name is Abel Pacheco. We're with the Five Talents Podcast. We have an amazing guest today. I'm super excited to have Mr. Jorge Abreu. He has just a wealth of knowledge and expertise, experience in real estate. And I'm super appreciative that he got to share some time with us. Jorge, thanks for joining, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'm excited to be on.
Yeah. Well, let me at least cover a little bit of background about you so our network and, you know, listeners know your expertise, man. So you're 14 years in real estate, single family and multifamily, right?
Correct.
And you had like, you've wholesaled like 200 single family properties. You've flipped 100 and you've done like $8 million of single family construction ground up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. All the data points. Man, that's awesome. And then, which is, you know, just in of itself, pretty mind blowing. But then there's several years where you're really focused on large multifamily properties. You're an active and passive investor. On the active side, you have 1,720 plus doors on the active side and 1,400 doors as a limited partner passive investor. Are those nuggets right?
Yeah, as of right now, yes. Working on some other deals, but as of right now, yes.
Man, how many millions of dollars are you, quote unquote, invested in, whether it's active or passive? Have you totaled that lately?
No, I have not. I mean, I know it's over 100 for sure.
Too big to count, I would imagine, yeah. Man. I'm sure some deals sell and some deals, you know, come around. And it's hard to keep a track of that. So you're the CEO of Elevate Commercial Investment Group. You own a construction company that's J&T Construction. You really focus on multifamily construction deals now or full renovations as well. You do this in Texas and Oklahoma. So, man, we're just, you know, we're blessed to have you and there's a lot to learn. So let me turn it back over. Give the listeners and our network just, you know, a little bit of insight. Like, you know, tell us about you and yourself and how you started in real estate and what you're doing today.
Sure. So, originally born and raised from South Florida, Miami. Parents are Cuban. And it was around my college years when I started looking into real estate investing. I was studying to be an electrical engineer. And at some point, I was not looking forward to that. I knew I wanted to do something more. So I started doing some research on just a bunch of different successful individuals. And I noticed, you know, they say that success leaves trails. I noticed that real estate investing was a part of their path of generating this wealth. So I started looking more into real estate and mainly investing. I did end up getting my realtor's license and my mortgage broker's license and did some of that stuff for a little bit, but it was all to get to real estate investing. You know, later I realized that I didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah. But yeah, you got there.
I got there. And then ended up graduating, engineering degree, went to work for UPS in the engineering department. But at the same time, I was doing real estate on the side. Finally started doing enough deals consistently where I quit my W-2 and started doing real estate full time. That was about 14, 15 years now. Started with single family, like you mentioned. This was before the Great Recession. Did quite a bit of flips and wholesales. And then when that happened, 2008, the South Florida market was trashed. Prices were just going down daily. So, you know, there wasn't much we could do at that point. And when with this being full-time real estate, I had to make a decision whether to pick up and go somewhere else or, you know, go get an engineering job or something, you know, go back that route. Looked into Dallas, knew an investor buddy of ours that had moved over here a couple years before. And man, what we saw happening in Dallas compared to South Florida, it was crazy. I mean, there was, you know, some foreclosures and things happening, but it was nowhere near compared to South Florida. So we made that move. My fiance at the time came with me and she took that leap of faith.
Yeah.
My family thought I was crazy.
I've heard on another podcast that you guys were partners before you were partners.
Correct.
She worked with you on the single family business side, like business partners before y'all were married.
Right? Yes. Yes.
So did she take the leap of faith with you? Was she like pushing you or saying, how was that?
Oh man, that dynamic was, she's always supported me with the large decisions and, she didn't fight it one bit, you know. Yeah. She said,
my wife is the same.
This is the right move, let's do it.
Yeah. My wife's the exact same, man. You're blessed with an amazing wife. So why the big switch from, you know, hundreds of transactions to multifamily? And maybe frame this too, right? We probably have a lot of passive investors for the first time of multifamily or like brand new operators that are kind of, you know, trying to learn a little bit more. Why even make that shift single family to multifamily?
Yeah. I mean, so I spent the next, you know, that was 2008. We moved to Dallas. I spent the next, 9 years or so, 8 years scaling the single family, ended up opening the construction company, J&T Construction, complement our fix and flips. And, you know, the plan was to continue to scale. And for any of your listeners that do single family now, I mean, scaling single family is not the easiest thing. So, you know, we got up to maybe doing 40, 45 homes a year, fix and flips. And then on top of that, some wholesales. But I don't know, man. At some point, I felt like I kind of woke up and had been grinding year after year. And what I had built was very transactional. Like, I couldn't just step away. It always had to be from the next deal to the next deal. And that's when I started looking more into multifamily. I had some clients that I landed through the construction company, because we also do work for other investors, and they were syndicators. They had syndicated quite a few multifamily projects. We came in, we helped them with the CapEx. And then as I started talking to them, I found out a little bit more about how they did it, you know, how they were able to syndicate and pull other investors' money together. So that kind of opened my eyes to that world. And I just started digging deep. And once I felt comfortable enough with the process, I felt like that's where I needed to be. That's where I was going to build that generational wealth. And haven't looked back since, just been focusing on large multifamily.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. We work with so many single family investors ourselves that ask us, and why multifamily, and why not just buy a single family house? And, you know, one or two or three, you know, four or five even, you know, makes sense. I stopped at eight. I couldn't imagine doing 45 in a year and, the volume. But that's, you know, you were trying to create a different business. It was not just about a little bit of cash flow. You wanted to, probably change your, generational change on that. And that led you to the scale and this bunch of brain damage at that level. I would imagine you can't keep up with it. So
lost the hair and all.
Lost a little hair. I don't know that, Jorge. I don't know. I don't have that problem, man. But, so tell us, you know, what you're doing today, man. You've had massive success. I see you on social. I see you on, LinkedIn or Facebook. I've met you at a conference and seen you probably at more than a few, your speaker, all these great things that, you know, you're really providing a lot of value for people that are trying to learn, you know, how to get into it. So tell us, you know, more about what you're doing today, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, obviously we're focusing on our asset management for our existing properties. And then I've worked on building a team where we can also kick out quite a bit of free content for those wanting to learn more passively and actively as well. You know, to me, I guess one part I skipped there was before I did my first syndication, I invested passively and I continue to invest passively every year. The tax advantages are just amazing.
The right way to do it. It's the right way to do it. I want to circle back up to that in a little bit once you're finished, but man, please continue. Yeah.
So I feel like it's a disservice to, you know, this stuff has done great things for me. And I feel like, you know, if I wouldn't have had that conversation, it's just not very well known what you can do with these alternative investments, you know, other than when most people think of investments, they think of stocks or bonds or, you know, their retirement plan is just their 401k. And they don't realize that through real estate and mainly multifamily, I mean, compare the returns you can make doing that and the tax benefits to just leaving your money in a 401. I mean, it's a life changer.
And so now you're giving back. I appreciate it. I've definitely, you know, picked up some content here and there and got motivated, inspired to give back and help others myself. So that's great stuff, man. So awesome. You started in multifamily as a passive investor. Well, you were doing J&T construction. So you were doing the work without having the ownership, right? And yes. And then you kind of passively invested in syndications. Walk us through, you know, maybe that starting point. I have a lot of people that probably love to hear how you got started like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wanted to, you know, before I syndicated my own deal, I just wanted to get a feel for the process of me being a passive investor, you know, put myself in those shoes. So I vetted some groups and, felt comfortable with what they were doing and their track record and whatnot. So went ahead and invested passively. At the same time, I was still looking for deals too. But yeah, I mean, it took a while as far as the underwriting to really get a good grasp on the underwriting and maybe 100 deals underwritten until I found that first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those that are listening, the underwriting, literally just the analysis of how much is a property today, what kind of business plan can you, you know, create to improve your net operating income? And then, you know, can I make a good solid return? And that is not an easy process. If you've never done it before, it'll take you, you know, forever, your first one, but 100 times you get a little bit better at it, huh?
Yeah.
And took them 100 times, you know, that really takes a lot, you know, to get that many, and then that's your first deal. So yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, congratulations on that. And you know, as a new passive investor, you mentioned a couple of things. You vetted the teams, right? Like, how did you find your first team that you invested with? Did you already have a relationship with them? You knew them? What was your process there just to get into a new team?
Yeah, I mean, when I decided I was going to be doing multifamily, I quickly realized that networking in this industry is very crucial. And I mean, that's almost okay, any industry, but
yeah,
in multifamily I feel like even more, just because it's such a team effort. So right off the bat, I went all in on networking. So these were individuals I had met, and then kind of took it from there, you know, started asking the questions that I learned to ask. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. The networking part is difficult today. However, you know, when you had the opportunity to capitalize, I've seen some pictures where you've got all these lanyards, you know, maybe for the year, and you're like, these are the ones that I went to. And I try to do as much as possible. My first couple of years, we went to like 13 or 14, you know, different cities, different events. And the more you network, you know, the easier it is, the better it is to like learn more, find new teams, find different strategies. And it's really beneficial. So what are some of the ways you're networking today? Because you're getting after it today. And maybe that's because of a COVID push, but how are you doing it today? And what would you recommend passive investors that are trying to network, like they're just getting started today?
Yeah, I mean, this first one wouldn't necessarily be for passive investors, but I mean, literally doing this, you know, I've been doing one or two podcasts a week. And, you know, we speak before and after, and there's some networking in that. And then obviously people reach out once they watch the episodes. So that's been pretty good. And then getting on webinars and kind of just touching base with maybe not new contacts, but some of the older contacts. So as far as a passive investor, I mean, I would probably focus on that if you've already made some contacts. And if not, maybe just going on social media and looking for some of the active investors and kind of reaching out to them and making contact.
Right on. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm very appreciative too. Like, you know, kind of reach out to you. You seem like this very, I don't know the right words. It's like social, man. You're out there more than a few things. And so I'm like reaching out. Like, I wonder if he's going to answer my instant message, and hopefully he does. And yeah, you know, absolutely. I'll jump on your podcast. And it was amazing to you know, to have you now. But then also, I think a lot of passive investors are newcomers to the multifamily real estate. They're kind of scared. They're a little worried. They don't want to ask. They don't want to, you know, reach you. But it's funny enough, like, you want to be reached. You want somebody to reach out to you and say hello. So if you're listening now, just, you know, have some realization. We do want you to reach out. I'd love you to contact me, and Jorge would love to contact you. So, you know, reach out to us. Don't be worried. Don't be scared. We understand everybody's got to start somewhere. So just wanted to share that little part of it too. Everyone in the multifamily world has been amazing for the past couple of years that I've networked and met with. Great group of people. Great group of people.
I agree 100%. And that's, to me, that was one of the biggest things that stood out from single family to multifamily. Not that people are not nice in single family. It's just... You know, it's not so much of a team game, and it was nice.
Hello, hello. You're listening to the Five Talents Podcast, and I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I know you're serious about achieving financial freedom. Are you ready to create your own path through multifamily investing? Then I know you're going to appreciate our Investor's Handbook for Multifamily Investing. We put together a 65-page ebook, which is a great resource to learn the basics of and the mechanics of multifamily syndications. We show you how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity as well. And the best part is, if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review, leave us a rating, we're going to give you a free copy of our ebook. So take a moment now, leave us a 5-star review if you think it's valuable. If not, provide us some feedback on how we can improve. Then register for the ebook at 5tcre.com/ebook. That's 5tcre.com/ebook. Make sure to let us know you left a review in the notes, and we'll send you a copy. Thank you for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast. Now we'll continue the show. So one of the other things you mentioned, you underwrote about 100 deals, maybe you're to find your first one. So that sounds like a lot of work, talking to a lot of brokers, getting on their radar, sending you some opportunities. And then even today, I would imagine probably something similar or even harder, right? Now there's less deals on the market out there. What are you doing to kind of get that deal flow? And it will... Once you have it, it's a little easier to get it. But to obtain the deal flow in the first place, you know, help some new general partners and, you know, try to find how do I get into the deal flow?
Man, there's several different ways to do it. But, you know, the quickest way to start getting deals in front of you is reaching out to the main brokers, you know, reach out to your Marcus and Metachap, your Newmark, your CBRE, the main multifamily players, Cushman and Wakefield, and touch base with them in the market that you want to be in. Get on their email list, and I mean, you're going to start seeing deals right away. Now, whether those are going to be stellar deals, most likely not, but at least you start seeing them, and you make contact with those brokers, and then just continue to build on that relationship, and you know, it gets a lot easier once you start closing some deals. You start building that traction, and then deals start flying at you left and right once you do that. But you know, to find the really good deals, you got to work a little harder. You know, we did a lot of cold calling and mail outs, networking. You know, I would say probably those three will bring you the best deals, because it's not everybody does those. It's the hardest work. And yeah, that's actually how we found our first two deals.
Yeah, I think, you know, we hear, hey, you can go off market, you can make the cold calls, you can reach out, you can do mailers, you can, you know, network and try to find the owners as much as possible. Or you can talk to the brokers, and the brokers, you know, if you're not proven today and you don't have this crazy track record behind you, you know, it's kind of hard for them to say, I'm going to trust you with a new deal. I'm going to send to the person that's going to close, right? So breaking into that world is, you know, sometimes difficult, but like you said, the hard work pays off, man. So you've done a lot of the, I don't want to presume, but just maybe tell us a little bit about your, you know, your strategy. You said you call out, you mail out, and then you try to network for, and those are your first two deals. Maybe describe that a little bit. That'd be awesome for us to hear.
Yeah. So we decided to get a CoStar account, which it's not cheap, but we thought it was pretty crucial. Pretty much allows you to do the comps, to scrub the data for the owners. What else? Data, city data metrics. Mm-hmm. So we scrub the data for the owners. Well, first, you know, you got to pick what area, what submarket you want to be in, what market, whatever it is. Put your criteria in there for how many units, what age, you know, your full property criteria. Then scrub that data for the owner's information, and then get to work.
And then get to work, get after it, right? How long did it take you, those two deals? Were you in pursuit with them from like start to finish for like 3 months, 6 months, a year longer? Do you remember like from the first ping till, you know, till close?
First one went pretty quick. It was, that one was actually through networking and completely off market. And our coach actually happened to be in town. We were having like a 3-day kind of workshop with him. And so we were able to actually take off and go see it with our coach at the time. And nice. So that really made it easier to move forward on that one. But then the second one did take a little bit longer. I know we were contacting the owner for, I'd say it was maybe a month before we finally got the LOI and got it under contract.
Awesome. Well, even then, man, both of those were pretty good, fast deals for the most part.
Yeah, one thing we learned, man, when you know, you definitely want to do your due diligence on the deal and make sure everything pencils out, you know, we get pretty detailed on the front end as far as taxes, insurance. We want to try to use as little rule of thumb numbers as possible. And if all that lines up, I mean, we attack it, you know, we don't think twice. You're going to lose the deal.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, that's good. Thanks for the insight there. And so you mentioned coach, and I've heard you more than a few times talk about like mindset and education and your focus and kind of things really, you know, took off for you, those kind of moments that you went all in and said, hey, I'm going to do this. So I'm big on, you know, I hired a coach, meet with them 1 week, like a personal coach, not just real estate. And then, you know, I've joined several, probably 4 to 5, you know, multifamily groups and, you know, education and et cetera, right? So mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of it too. If you could share your mindset around that, like, did you know for sure you're going to hire a coach? Did you stumble upon it? Did you, you know, once you had it, you know, what experiences have you had, personal, you know, bad, good, whatever, man, share with us that insight and maybe drop some nuggets on people that think I'm going to try to do this on my own.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, doing it on your own is always an option. I did it with the construction company. You know, I didn't hire a coach or anything. I did it on my own. It was a lot of work, a lot of learning along the way. But, you know, now that I'm a little bit older, you know, hiring a coach is going to accelerate that time that it takes to learn all that knowledge. And hopefully you can not have to go through some of the mistakes. You know, if you have a coach and they're kind of leading you down the right path. And then there's also, so I'll kind of break it down, maybe 3 options, right? You can decide you're going to do it on your own. And there's a ton of free content. I mean, that's one of the things that I just said, you know, I'm trying to put as much free content as I can out there. And then you can take the time to learn it on your own. And that's going to be most likely a slower path. You can go and hire a coach, and that should accelerate your success. Or you can, you know, one thing I've suggested in the past is find somebody that is doing what you want to do and then just bring them value and kind of, you know, join their team or find where they need the most value and bring that, or find what you're really good at and then offer that value.
Yep. When you started 14 years ago, were there any podcasts?
Or no, man, it was
interviews. You were hacking it out at J&T and single family, and just like, man, you know. So you were really going through it. And Jorge mentioned to accelerate the time. You know, even if you're doing it on your own today, doing it on your own is different than 14 years ago because you have so much content available to you.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you what I was doing. So, you know, back when in college, when I decided I was going to do this, on the weekends, I would spend all weekend at Barnes and Nobles just reading. I don't even know if Barnes and Nobles exist anymore, but
they do. And I can imagine because I did a lot of the same things when I was younger. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, and I was sacrificing. I had my friends wanting to go out, and I was kind of over it, you know, as far as the parties and stuff. And I was like, nah, man, this is what I want to do. And I wish there were podcasts back then.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah, you did it. And the sacrifice is one of the things that I hear over and over again, you know, as I'm interviewing others and very successful individuals like yourself. And, you know, it's the sacrifice. We're all sacrificing something, time, you know, whether it's free time or, you know, TV time or whatever, those are the first ones that should go. But if you can do so, that sacrifice is well worth it, man. So do it on your own, podcast, free content. You can hire a coach. How do you vet, or how did you vet your coach, and how would you recommend others to vet, you know, a good coach that they're thinking about hiring and drop, you know, we dropped some pretty serious coin, right? So, you know, how would you, you know, give them some insight on how you did it and how we should vet them?
Yeah, mine was somewhat easy. You know, I also had a single family coach when I got started. And back then I had been introduced to Dave Lindahl's group. And so I knew he had been doing it for at least however many years, you know, 12, whatever years it was. So that was kind of the difference for me. I did look into a couple other coaches, but I noticed that they hadn't been doing it that long. And I'm not saying that's the only deciding factor. I just, that was really all I looked into. I'm not even saying that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's what you did. Yeah, it makes sense. They were doing what you wanted to do, and they were doing it for some period of time. So it's like, okay, these guys.
Right. You know, now thinking back, I'd probably dig in a little bit deeper as far as the group within that coaching, and I don't know, a lot of different factors. Obviously track record is big as well.
That's great. Yeah. And then the other way you kind of mentioned, if I maybe don't have money to hire a coach.
Correct.
And I'm probably still doing it on my own, podcast, education, that. And then I'm trying to bring value to someone else. That was one of the ways that I got started and kind of was able to get my first deals. But maybe you could share from your insight, what do you mean by that? How do people do that?
Yeah, I mean, I got a great example, man. John Okocha, who does mainly our acquisitions, and he's also doing some investor relations. He came to us and pretty much asked us, like, okay, well, what are you guys missing? You know, I see you guys out there, see you guys doing stuff. What are you missing right now? We told him, like, look, man, we can't keep up with the acquisitions as far as at least the high level underwriting and those kind of things. He wasn't scared to pick up the phone and call someone. You know, he was eager, and he told us straight up, hey, look, I don't even care about getting paid. I want to do this. I want to learn from you guys. You know, and came in every day to the office, not getting paid at first.
Yeah.
And he proved himself, man. That's kind of exactly that is what someone needs to do if they're in that position.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. 100%. I have a bunch of, you know, new investors or new people that say, hey, you know, I'm invested passively in X amount. And they've got a strong passive track record and trying to become a GP. And, you know, they're like, I think this part just misses them. They're like, provide value, do some kind of value, bring an investor, you know, to a general partner, introduce them to your network, do some underwriting, you know, like and engage on their posts, right? Their social.
Yeah, no, that's
spend a lot of time doing that. Like highlight, promote, you know, share with your network. And, you know, if you did that simple one, you would show up on their content every other day and be like, who is this guy?
It's a great example, man. Because it grabs my attention.
Yeah. So yeah. Those are all good things and, you know, very practical ways. And it's not short term. It's not quick. But, you know, this is not a short-term game either, right? We're in it for the long run. So
yeah, I'll give this advice from experience. Like, don't just go up to a sponsor and say, you know, how can I help? Or, you know, I'm here. Let me know how I can help. Figure out where you can bring value and be specific. You know, the example I just used. Hey, look, I'll call anybody. I don't care. You give me a list of 100 people, I'm going to call them all. I'm good on the phone. And I'm ready. That's different than, you know, hey, I'm here. I can help you.
What can I help you with? 100%. Thanks, Jorge. I think that was all good, man. Before we go, let me make sure I definitely hit. So someone's a new investor. Someone's a potential general partner. Someone's a broker in your market. Where do I reach out to? How do I get in your world? How do I make sure I stay in your world, et cetera?
For sure. Social media. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. If you search my name, you'll definitely find me, as well as my company Elevate or JNT Construction. And like you said, if you like and comment on my stuff, I'll even notice you more. But can also check out elevatecig.com. I've got a ebook on there as far as benefits of investing passively in multifamily. And then if they want to shoot me an email and tell me they heard me on this podcast, which is my first name, JORGE@elevatecig.com. I can send over some free checklists I have. I've got questions to ask a sponsor, due diligence checklist. I just came out with an ebook on how to hire a contractor. So I'll go ahead and send all that stuff over.
Nice. Providing some value to our listeners. What an amazing guest you are, brother. Before we go, kind of the last, you know, wrapping up items, was there any, you know, anything I didn't touch on that you were excited to share today? Anything, you know, last, you know, bits of wisdom, you know, anything in general, the time is yours, man.
I would say, I think you said most of your listeners are looking to start active or passive investors.
Yeah, I have a feeling we've got a lot of passive investors and probably new general partners is my guess here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say as far as passive investors, do your homework on the sponsor team, and then also, you know, learn enough on the underwriting. You know, maybe you don't have to know the ins and outs, but enough to where you can possibly see some red flags before investing into a deal. And then, as far as someone trying to get active, you know, I think I kind of covered that. Just find where you can bring that value, man, and reach out to, you know, if your issue's track record, you know, reach out to somebody that's got that track record and see how you can bring value to them.
Well, that's all great, man. I appreciate your time, Jorge. And I know our listeners are going to be, they're going to be blessed. And make sure you grab a pen and a pad for some of the things that he said. If we rewind a few moments of this show, I think it was a great one. And man, we love, you know, seeing more of your content. So keep it coming, and I appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
Sorry, I almost forgot. Abel Pacheco, I'm your host, Five Talents Commercial Real Estate, our podcast. You can reach us at 5tcre.com. Here's that website. And if you have any questions about, you know, multifamily, passive investing, financial freedom, or just, you know, want to wrap in general about real estate and investing, let me know. We'd be more than happy to help. And then Jorge, same thing. He'd love to reach out and talk with you guys. Same process. So appreciate it. Thank you very much. If you heard something today that you appreciated, leave a 5-star review, put on the podcast, like our YouTube videos, however you do it. We appreciate your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the 5 Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. Each week, I'm going to bring you interviews from industry experts and successful commercial real estate investors who all follow their dreams and achieve massive success. You're going to learn a ton, and I hope you tune in weekly for all the new shows. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, I know you're going to appreciate our Investor's Handbook for Multifamily Investing. We put together a 65-page ebook, which is a great resource to learn the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications, and we show you how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. And the best part is, if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review, leave us a rating, we're going to give you a free copy for our ebook. So take a moment now, leave a review on the show. We'd love your feedback. Then register for the ebook at www.5tcre.com/ebook. That's 5tcre.com/ebook. Make sure to let us know you left us a review in the notes, and we're going to send you a copy. Thank you very much for subscribing to the 5 Talents Podcast, and we'll see you soon.